I shake my head gently, return to this island, and check the time. My spirits lift, as it is time for something that I shall miss once it's ended, as it'll have to end soon, the recording of raw material for Jason, as fixed with Aliyah on the phone. So I hightail it back to meet Aliyah, Evelyn, and Rick in the studio, where I listen with renewed respect and some befuddlement to a quick account of the wizardry that was employed today when he edited together the final presentation of Big Bang from our three recordings, processed it in various ways, and sent it barreling up the pipe to the General Network's Playout division for airing tonight. For him, after such post-production intricacies, setting up the camera now for a quick fourth spokesheet recording is evidently a bagatelle, and he sets to it with a weary jauntiness. As for me, my hurry to get here, combined with my knowing there will only be one or two more of these sessions, contributes to the intensity with which I now psych myself up and spew out the five tune-ins I've done since last time. First, playing it with all the sex and joy and sadness and emotion in the subject itself, I squeeze out Angel dancing at Lucan's party last night in the smoky basement den, with Lucan's pride in watching him, as a too brief respite for Angel. Then from today comes Pippa's hopeless yearning for the young man in the tower, how she should leave here but won't, and her favourable stars in the newspaper. Here comes Kim's and Shigim's beach idyll in its golden glow of early romance, and Kim's intimation of being in a story that somehow isn't real. I've felt this too now and again in recent days, as it happens, and thus permit myself to embellish his feeling with two or three grace notes all my own. Here's Pippa, hiding in bed earlier this evening, the passing ship to New York, and, to complicate our spokesheep a bit, the singing cats that she never knew were hers. And here's Kim's moment of enchantment on the nighttime street just now. The screening we have straight afterwards on the TV monitor is moving for all of us. Seeing those four people laid so bare on that screen, it focuses so much spotlight on them, muses Rick. With each one, there's a small corner of human consciousness, and it's very detailed and urgent and deeply felt. And you wonder about all the influences that buffeted them around till they became just like that and not otherwise. I'm just glad I'm not trapped inside Pippa, says Evelyn. Poor honey. Oh, I've just remembered. I heard from Flames that Lucan is spreading it about Shigim being responsible for all the waxworks now, including the new one of Angel. It's the same shit. Lucan doesn't have a clue who made them, but he hates to look clueless. Then I'm worried for Shigim, I say. Now that the angel on Damien's path has come together with the Weasley figures Kim has seen at Pippa's, thereby revealing who the wax modeler must be, the easiest way to protect Shigim would be to tell Lucan it was Pippa, and then just wait for his thugs to muscle into her apartment and lay bare the truth. But none of us voices this option, as I think we're all aware that Pippa doesn't deserve it to be considered as an option. I've got it, says Evelyn. We know Shigim was in paradise when the first wax head appeared. Well, guess what we have? Proof he was there. I mean, we have the footage from Jamie's first tune into Shigim in the club that night. Maybe we should just lend Lucan that footage too. He accepted that the stuff on the Angel DVD was genuine, so why wouldn't he accept the Shigim footage was real too? I don't need to look at Aliyah to know she'll be squirming inside and working out permutations. I realize, doubtless at the same instant she does, that this Shigim footage was of course on the DVD Aliyah gave Lucan, the DVD with all four scribbled on it. Aliyah must be calculating right now that if Lucan is next given the Shigim footage, then he'll tell Evelyn he's already seen it, so Aliyah's secret will be out. Oh, says Aliyah, I don't think there's any point in that, Evelyn. There's no proof that the footage showing Shigim at Paradise is from the same time the head was left. Jamie could have absorbed it at any time in the evening. Not much of an alibi. It shows Shigim on a full dance floor, says Evelyn. There wasn't a full dance floor all evening. People could corroborate what time it was. They could verify he was there. Maybe the DJ... We can't start bringing other people into this, says Aliyah. The aim here is to stop this getting out, not spread the news. So, no witnesses, no proof. Plus, frankly, I'm a little uncomfortable giving out footage of Shigim without his permission. Evelyn raises her eyes to the ceiling. Feeling obliged to give Aliyah some help, I add, giving out footage of other people aside from Angel, it's a bit risky for the cloning deal. Just giving Lucan the Angel footage was risky enough. And anyway, closes Aliyah in triumph, even if Lucan did see the stuff with Shigim in Paradise during the first head, and the timing was proved, still, as you pointed out before, Lucan could always say Shigim simply delegated the actual placing of the head. I'll be impressed if Evelyn overcomes that triple whammy of objections, and indeed she doesn't. I'm just worried for him, she replies. If we're not careful, someone's going to die here. Aliyah frowns and turns to me. Jamie, can you see that happening? I raise my hands in surrender. You mean in future? Now, the future's one thing I can't see, thank goodness. That would feel entirely different. By the way, would Shigim ever snitch on Pippa to protect himself? I very much doubt it, says Evelyn. I'm about to ask whether she thinks Kim would ever snitch on Pippa to protect Shigim, but at the last moment I refrain, prompted by an instinct to keep this notion to myself for whatever options it may provide.